Appreciate our song leader and our piano player. Thank you both. And once again, we welcome all of you, those who are visiting us, our regulars, those who God has drawn into this fellowship this morning. You know, God's in control of everything. Everything. And we're not here by accident. He has purposed for us to be here. Now, let me throw something at you that might shock you, but it's true. This was purposed by God. This meeting right here this morning was purposed by God before He created anything. Way back in old eternity, before time began. And His Word teaches that. People don't believe that. People don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe in a sovereign God. They want to believe in a God they can manipulate. A God after their own imagination. A God that doesn't even exist. But those who have been enlightened by God the Holy Spirit, who believe that this is the holy, inspired Word of God, know that what I just said is absolutely true. So a warm welcome to all who have come here to witness this God-ordained, glorious baptismal service. Angie Lesher has experienced the miracle of the new birth, God's saving grace, revealing to her that Jesus Christ is our great Creator who became a man so that He could redeem us from all iniquity by His precious blood that He shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago. I have talked with her personally. I have heard her testimony. And you're going to witness her testimony of her faith in Christ at the close of this message. Now, she heard the voice of Jesus Christ. Not an audible voice, a voice that speaks inwardly. She heard my voice preaching the gospel, but if that's all my hearers hear, that's not enough. We have to hear the voice of Jesus Christ making His gospel effectual. And He, our great majestic triune God, loves His people that He chose in Christ before the foundation of the world with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, He draws us to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We read that blessed truth in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 3. So Angie came to Jesus Christ by faith because of God's eternal love for her and because of the sovereign, irresistible drawing power of God the Holy Spirit under the preaching of His glorious gospel. And it's under the preaching of His gospel that all of His blood-bought sheep hear the gospel, hear the good news, hear the voice of Jesus Christ. It's important that we do hear the voice of the preacher. The gospel must be preached. But it must come in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And that's when Jesus, our great deliverer, in the person of God, the Holy Spirit, sets us free from the power of darkness and the power of sin and the power of Satan. So I've titled this message, Jesus, our great deliverer. And I ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Now we're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians in a verse by verse study. And I'll bring this message to a close by taking us there and reading a couple of verses from that first chapter. But I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1 and make this statement so that you'll understand what this great deliverance that God has granted to Angie and to all of His saints who've been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, to know that this great deliverance was by the sovereign power of God Himself. We come into this world in spiritual darkness, And no preacher, no faithful testimony of God's amazing grace can explain spiritual darkness to those we preach to those we witness to. We can see in our unregenerate state, and we use human logic. Don't tell me I'm blind. I see you just as well as you can see me. But we're not talking about what we can see with the physical eye. We're talking about the eye of God-given faith. We talked about that earlier as we went into John chapter 3, where our Lord told a self-righteous religious Jew by the name of Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see. And I explained that word see to our hearers. It means perceive. We cannot understand gospel truths until God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, revealing those wonderful truths that gives Him all the glory. So preachers cannot convict our hearers of their helpless and hopeless, sinful, bankrupt condition. That's God's work. Only God can do that. And in our unregenerate state, we will not agree with what the Word of God says about people who were born in sin, Adam's posterity. We cannot convince them that they're hell-deserving sinners. I know. I was there. We reason within ourselves. I'm not a murderer. I might have sown a few wild oats, but I never robbed any bank. And even a murderer will argue this way. I may have killed one, but I know people who've killed four or five. And so they justify what they've done by comparing themselves with the actions of others. And that's not good. That's not wise. I'm going to tell you something that's as true as God Himself, whether you believe it or not. We must be absolutely perfect before we can enter into heaven's glory. Well, preacher, you think you're perfect? No. Not in my state. I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God. I still sin. I hate that, but I do. But my hope is in Jesus Christ, who is perfect.
Amen.
And every person who was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, we were in Him when He suffered and bled and died for our sins. Already punished in our substitute. And when He came out of the grave, and He did, Christ has risen. When He came out of the grave, all of our sins were removed from God's sight forever. God remembers them against us no more. We're in Christ. And it takes God-given faith to embrace that and believe that. And only God can give us true saving faith. And it's Jesus, our great deliverer, who delivers us by the power of God the Holy Spirit, Jesus in His other self, who delivers us from the power of darkness. And we read that right here in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Listen to this. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That word means fit. Which hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's God's doings. Under the preaching of His gospel, He commands the light to shine in our hearts. God does that so that we can see the glory of God by faith in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we'll believe what the Word of God says about Him. Look at the next few verses. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now it's interesting, there's nothing added to that, and we better not add anything to that.
That's right.
Because God tells us in His Word that He has forgiven us for Christ's sake. And I don't know about you, but that thrills me throughout my whole being, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, to know that absolutely nothing can be laid to my charge because Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He redeemed us with His precious blood. We heard that in that article that Brother John read by Pastor Donnie Bell. We better not add anything to that. The blood of Jesus Christ is enough. Amen?
Amen.
Look at the next verse. Speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God?" Jesus Christ is the express image of the invisible God. He told His disciples while He was here on this earth, they said, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." He said, "Have I been so long time with you and you've not seen me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." Now we're not denying the Father, we're not denying the Holy Spirit. Every child of God who's been enlightened by God the Holy Spirit believes in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three divine persons. But in Christ our great Deliverer dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When we see Him through the eye of faith, we see Jehovah God, the Almighty One. And we read in the last part of verse 15 that He's the firstborn of every creature. For in Him, it says in verse 16, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So He's our great Creator. Jesus, our great Deliverer, is our great Creator. He's our great Creator. We didn't make ourselves. He made us. And He's the super adhesive that holds all things together. That's what the word consist means in the last part of verse 17. He is before all things, and by Him all things are held together. He's our sovereign God, who works all things after the counsel of His own will. And people are afraid that we're going to be destroyed, this world's going to be destroyed by global warming or by something that man does. No, God has reserved the destruction of this world by the power of Himself, and Jesus Christ is the power of God. And when He comes back, the whole creation is going to melt with His fervent heat. He's going to destroy the wicked with the brightness of His coming. You have your bulletins. Look at the scripture that's on the front of this morning's bulletin, taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 42. And this is an actual event that took place. Peter was preaching his first message after Christ was crucified. This is on the day of Pentecost. And he and Luke recorded this, at least a portion of this message, for our learning and our understanding. Peter, while he was preaching, told some Jews, and there was a multitude of Jews there. He said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That's God's work. They were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What promise? What promise? The promise of eternal life.
Amen.
The promise of forgiveness of sins. God tells us in His Word that those Jews who were listening to Him were told by Peter, the promise is unto you. And He said, unto your children as well. And He said, and unto those who are far off, which has reference to His elect in the Gentile world. And He qualifies those the promise is sent to by saying this, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. He must call us. Angie's been called. He must call us with a personal, inward, efficacious call. A holy calling. A calling that is made effectual by His sovereign power, to where we understand these words of Scripture in one of the Psalms, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Read on. It says, and with many other words did he, that is Peter, testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Brethren, that is the same way God is saving His people throughout every generation during this gospel age, bringing us together, bringing us under the preaching of the gospel, revealing to us that God our Father has made His darling Son Jesus Christ, that very same Jesus that was crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now those Jews were looking for the promised Messiah. They were looking for the promised Messiah. 3,000 of them believed. And they gave a testimony of their faith by getting baptized. But there were more than 3,000 there. Many of them didn't believe. Many of them spoke out against what Peter preached. They were the very people who crucified our Lord and our Savior. It was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, yes. But wicked hands did that. And many of them in that assembly who heard Peter preach shook their fist in the face of God Almighty and said, that's not true. He's not the Messiah. He's not my Lord. Well, He was. They just didn't know it. Because He's Lord of all. Amen. Now listen to me. Those who believed, when they died in faith and went right to glory. They're there now in the presence of King Jesus. They see Him in all of His glory. Those who didn't believe and continued in that state of unbelief, who went through that door marked death, they're alive today, but they're in eternal torment. And the same thing is happening today. God brings people under the preaching of His gospel. He speaks to the hearts of His chosen blood-bought children, revealing Jesus Christ and His gospel to them. And they cannot hardly contain themselves for the joy that's within them. Peter wrote these words that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But many go out shaking their heads and no, that's not fair, that's not right. Where are you this morning? Where are you? Is your faith in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Or are you trusting in something you have done? You know, we have this foolish and sinful deception, and it's preached by the majority of those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ in this world today. We have this deception in thinking that God loves us just like we are. No, He doesn't. False preachers are teaching that Jesus Christ died for everybody, and He loves everybody. That's not true. God hates all workers of iniquity. And He tells us in His Word, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And He set His love upon Jacob, and His hate was toward Esau before either one of them had been born, before either one of them had done any good or evil. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you will, please. Brethren, we're living in the gospel age. And God commands all men everywhere to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. And that name of Jesus, the Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if we don't believe on Him, if God doesn't give us true saving faith to come to Him, we're no different than those unbelieving Jews who crucified our Lord. We have the same hateful heart. You say, Pastor, you're just too hard. I have a genuine love for the glory of Jesus Christ, my Savior. That was not in me in my unregenerate state. God gives His people a new heart to love Him, to love His gospel, to love His people. And we have a sincere desire that others would come to Christ. We know God is serious. He's not playing games. He poured out His wrath on everybody that lived on this earth during the days of Noah, except for those, Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their three wives who were aboard the ark. I don't know how many people lived during that day. I've heard people say that some scientists believe there were probably close to as many people on the earth back then as there are today. I don't know that to be true. But they figure that out mathematically by the length of time people lived back then and how many children they could have during that lifespan, multiplying it by the years from Adam and Eve up to the days of Noah when he built that ark under the direction of God Almighty for the saving of himself and his household. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And God calls Noah in His New Testament a preacher of righteousness. It took him over 100 years to build that ark. Every day he was preaching, His wrath is coming. He was preaching that by building that ark. And I believe when he had the opportunity, he was telling those who would listen to him, God spoke to me. He's coming. He's going to destroy this world with a flood. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They're not laughing now. I'm telling you, on the authority of God's word, His wrath is coming. And he's already demonstrated his hatred for sin. There's only one safe hiding place. That's Jesus Christ. And Noah's Ark typified Jesus Christ. And when he had obeyed God and done all that God had told him, took all the animals aboard that God told him to take, when he took his wife, his three sons, and their wives into the ark, the Word of God says, God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God did. Jesus Christ is the door. It's an open door right now. But there's coming a day when that door is going to be closed. Now, John the Baptist said this to some unbelieving, self-righteous, religious Jews who came to witness the baptism of true followers of Jesus Christ. He said to those unbelieving Jews, O generation of vipers, snakes, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits fit for repentance. They couldn't do that. They didn't believe they were sinners. They even said that to our Lord Jesus. We be not sinners. Yes, they were. Fruits fit for repentance, listen to me, is a broken and a contrite heart. A heart that shows genuine remorse for sinning against God. A heart that seeks forgiveness, that cries out to God for mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. All during the gospel age, crowds of people have been brought under the preaching of God's glorious gospel, and true followers of Jesus Christ repented of their sins and were baptized, professing their faith in Jesus, our great deliverer. All those who've gone out into eternity with that faith died in faith, and they're with Christ right now. But all through this gospel age, there were unbelievers who died in their sins. There's no escape from where they are. So I'm warning you, on the authority of God's word, Jesus Christ is coming again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and do not obey His gospel. So I've given you the gospel. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Jesus Christ became a man, and as a man, He, by Himself, purged our sins. He met all the conditions of the eternal covenant of grace. And God the Father has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. That tells me He's sovereign. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Repent and believe that, or suffer the consequences. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul, in writing under divine inspiration, told those saints in verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. They were God's elect. And Paul knew they were God's elect. How did he know that? Our next verse tells us, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. That's what I mentioned earlier. We must preach the gospel, but it must come in power. I don't have that power. No preacher has that power. That's God's power.
Amen.
And these saints at Thessalonica, they gave proof that they heard the gospel and that God had given them faith to believe the gospel. And their testimony went throughout the whole known earth at that time. We read that in the next few verses. And they were doing something while they were confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior before others, telling them how Jesus Christ had delivered them from idols. They were doing something. Look at the last verse, verse 10. It says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They were waiting for the return of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And all the saints of God in any given generation were doing the same thing, meeting together, worshiping the Lord Jesus, praising Him for delivering us from the power of darkness, the power of Satan, the power of sin, knowing that that deliverance took place at Calvary 2,000 years ago when He satisfied the holy justice of God in our room and in our stead. And we didn't know anything about it until God brought us under the preaching of the gospel and gave us His true light, revealing these things to us so that we would know Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for us. And we're doing that today. We're worshiping the Lord Jesus in spirit and in truth, waiting for His return. And when He comes, brethren, He's coming, pouring out His wrath. But Jesus is our great deliverer, who has already delivered us from the coming wrath by subjecting Himself to God's wrath when He hung there on that cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago. God poured out His unmitigated wrath on His darling Son. And God is a just God. He cannot demand payment twice. First at my Savior's hand, then at my... He can't. If He punished me in my substitute, I'm free. I'm free from the power of darkness, yes. I'm free from the power of Satan. The Lord had to tell Satan, loose him and let him go. I'm free from the power of sin. That is, sin does not have dominion over me. I still sin, but that does not keep me from coming to my Lord Jesus, asking Him to forgive me for those sins. I couldn't do that in my unregenerate state. I can now. So here we are, about to witness the baptismal service, or the baptism of Angie Lesher, who has heard these wonderful truths and by God-given faith embraced them. So she's going to come at this time, and she's going to go into the waters of baptism in obedience to the command of Jesus Christ, because she wants you to know that her faith is in Christ and only in Christ.